Thank the Lord for the beautiful day that He's given us. Nice cool breeze this morning. Thank the Lord for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. It's easy for us to say that sometimes when it's all going good. It's also the same day that the Lord's made when it's not going good. It's the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I thank the Lord so much for His love and mercy to me this morning. I'm so glad that I'm saved. That's so precious. I had somebody, I was telling them a little bit of my experience of salvation a couple days ago, and they said, how long has that been? And I'm not one that dates and things seem to mean, I don't keep track of it, but it caused me to think, and that's about 38 years ago. And that still astounds me. It doesn't seem like that long at all because it was, it's so fresh in my memory. Over there, the other piece of concrete over there, I can still take you within just a couple feet of where the Lord changed me. Tremendously changed me. And it's so. And this is one of the reasons why I can tell you with great confidence that the blood of Jesus cleanseth. Changes lives, makes new. And when I hear the testimonies like I've heard this morning about some that have gotten saved recently, and I've watched the changes, and I hear the little rejoicing when that verse that maybe they've heard of before, but this morning when Romans opened up, or the other day when the Romans opened up, and that spoke to them, I can't help but feel what they're feeling. Tears roll down my eyes. And I rejoice with them. He's my cousin also, but he's my brother this morning. I am so thankful when I see the Lord get hold of your heart. Because I know a little bit of what's in store for you. Because I know what the Lord's done for me. The joy of the Lord that I found in my heart. The change, the way the Lord has worked with me in mercy. In time and how He's developed me and brought blessings of the Lord in my life. Oh, I recommend this way to everyone. And you young folks, as you come along and you feel the Lord dealing with your heart, I want to implore you. I want to beg of you to give your all to the Lord. The fields are indeed white. I'll just share with you this also this morning that I have been so encouraged here recently. It has been a burden of mine, and not just mine. I've noticed that some of my fellow ministers also have had this burden. We've been praying earnestly that the Lord would move upon some younger ones. The Lord would begin to call you into His service in whatever area that is. But I have also been specifically asking the Lord would call some to the ministry. And there have been some names that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I am blessed to see them moving to the point that expressing that the Lord, they acknowledging the hand of God on them. And I want you to know that we're going to continue praying. And I'm asking the Lord to continue putting His hands on other young folks to develop you. And some older ones maybe that you've been on the way and you've got some experiences of life, the Lord can use you too. And I want to ask you to, all of us, to behold the fields. They're white. Sometimes we look at difficulties and we think that the opportunities maybe have waned, and we look at all the wickedness around us and we can be convinced that nobody wants this anymore. But I want to tell you, there's a white field out there. We live in a world of desperate people, because when wickedness grows to the degree that it has grown to, there's a lot of desperate need in people's hearts. When we look at that as a wickedness, and we can start feeling discouraged, but God's got plans for people. He wants to save them. And the fields are white. There are people that the Lord wants to see saved. Well, we do live in a world of great, a lot of wickedness that seems to want to crowd in around us. And I want to As we recognize this also an opportunity, we should also recognize some of the difficulties, some of the things that has gotten people entrapped. We want to look at some of this, some of the very mindset that the devil is working with, the way he is trying to entrap people. We have even heard in this meeting of, I believe, more than one suicide recently. That lets me know there are some people that have gotten into a desperate place in their life and hope is gone. There's a field out there of people that have come to the place that mentally somewhere the devil has captivated and gotten to work in their hearts and their minds to the point that they feel like it's time to end it. Oh, the fields are white. You see, the devil has created a lot of hopelessness in people's lives. But in that field, there's a place for you and I to reach into that with the hope that we have in our hearts. When Brother Peter and Brother John, they went to the temple to pray. And as they were going, I'm pretty confident they didn't have their pockets full of gold. But they had something. And those of us who know the voice of the Lord this morning, those of us who have known the touch of God, the rebirth in our hearts, the change that God has brought in our lives, we have something to share with these that are crippled, these that are maimed. We have something. And oh, we should have great confidence. We should have it real first in our hearts. But then when we go by the maimed, the lame, those that are crippled, maybe from their own circumstances, way back in their life. Maybe they were born into this type of crippling, but God's got something for them. They're sitting around our feet, begging. The fields are white. God, help us to reach them. And there is hope for the crippled this morning. Well, look with me back in the beginning. Genesis, the 6th chapter. We hope to, by the help of the Lord, begin to identify, I believe there's a spirit strongly at work in the world today that is trying with all its devilish might to bring people to a confused state in mind, of mind, to a desperate state of mind that they feel like there is no hope. There is something afoot today that has brought many a young person to that place. There is a natural propensity. There is a natural condition. I'll say it this way. That when we are growing from adolescence into adulthood, we have some natural desires to be able to try our own wings. On wings that really aren't used to flying yet. We want to use our own mind. And there's some of that that God has put within us that we are supposed to grow up and learn to take some responsibilities. But the devil likes to take advantage of this place. The devil would like at this point of people's lives to do harm, to take a precious place that the Lord wants to develop in young folks, and like to, the Lord wants to develop that, but the devil would like to sidetrack that and all manner of confused thought. And there is a spirit in the world today that's entered in, that has tried to confuse and captivate young minds in this vulnerable time when they're wondering how to get their footing. And I remember back in my life as a teenager, it wasn't that long ago, though to you it might seem longer, but to me it wasn't that long. I remember some of the vivid feelings that I had. Naturally so. You want to be able to take more control of your life. Some of that is of God. But the devil would like to take that into the area of rebellion. And that's where I want to caution us not to allow the devil to cause you to get into rebellion in your heart. Because that leads into some very difficult, hard places in your life. Well, these natural feelings that you have in your heart, where do I fit in life? I want to grow up. I want to do something. And we start wondering, what am I going to do? And where do I fit in? I feel awkward a little bit. And all these things we're dealing with. And at this point, the devil has a lot of trinkets to sell you. Today, He is especially, because we feel some of this need of where am I going? What am I doing? I haven't gotten my footing yet under me. The devil will try to tell you, well, in this confused state, surely there's some experimental things. And he will tell you today, you can experiment with gender. You can experiment with lifestyles. There's all kinds of things that and I want to tell you that's confusion from Satan. And if you go down that road, you will not find the satisfaction that he's telling you you'll find today. It's not found there. I know. There's also other things that he'll try to promote to you, ideas that we can go out and have some fun. We can do some partying. We can get involved in some of the carousing of this world that seems like everybody else is enjoying. I want to tell you, if you go down that road, you'll not find satisfaction there either. There's enough people here today that have dabbled in that road that can stand up here today and testify to you that we've been down that road and we know in our hearts what it is. It brings you to a place of confusion, a place of helpless feeling. And only the Lord Himself can deliver you from that. But I want you to know that the Lord can deliver you from that. I stand as that, and I will not share with you all that has been in my life. I don't want to. Only at times when the Lord has used some of those instances to help somebody in a personal way as the Lord. But I suffice it to tell you, the Lord saved me. The Lord changed me. And the man you see here today is here only by the grace of God. There's a great change that happens. And I found satisfaction. I found salvation. I found the love of the Lord in my heart. I found what I needed at an altar of prayer 38 years ago, and has only increased on my heart, in my life. Over here in Genesis, the 6th chapter, it says, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Now, I want to tell you, I don't believe just having a group of people, a number of people in one place is necessarily evil. Because God wants us to multiply. It's what He wanted. But the devil can take advantage in here. Have you ever noticed where I might proffer to you a wrong idea, or maybe I may suggest, why don't we go out and, you know, there's some kind of something here on the edge, and let's have some fun. And maybe you have a little hesitant about it, but then somebody over here says, yeah, let's do that. And pretty soon we get caught up in this wrong enforcement. When people come together with impure minds, the devil takes advantage. The spirit of the devil. I know we can maybe identify it in all ways, but the devil's behind all of that. To try to destroy and captivate and get us thinking some things are right that never are right. Brother Curtis talked to us last night about the law of the Lord. It's unchangeable. Don't care how much we get amongst ourselves and try to discount parts of it. It's immutable. We must deal with the law of the Lord. It said, and it came to pass when men multiplied on the face of the earth. We have found examples that when people maybe got together with maybe pure intentions, but then this other element of rancor began to stir up. We get together, some maybe injustice has been done. And we begin to gather together, and then this feeling of injustice builds. Let me caution you, young folks, if you find yourself in a position where there's a group of people that's starting to get things out of hand, their minds start getting crazy, they start saying things, and you start, when this multiplying of people in this area starts happening around you, and they're not being guided by the peacefulness of God, I want to encourage you to leave that place. Because it's not only dangerous to you physically, it's dangerous to you spiritually. It gets into our minds. That's not what the Lord wants. He has a definite way He wants to lead us. Our Father does lead. He loves His children. I want to tell you this morning, I look out in your face, you young folks, I love you. I'm not going to say any of this morning because I'm interested in you being damned. The reason why I want to say some of this to you, because I want to protect you. I want you to find the peace of the Lord that I have found in my life. I want you to find the Lord sweet. Well, we still find this sometimes. We reinforce to each other's minds. We get into an area that we're starting to reinforce to each other erroneous and wrong ideas. And that's unhealthy. It multiplies falsehood. It reinforces that. The result of that is discounting God. It discounts the word of the Lord. Now, look on down here in the sixth chapter and I believe it's the fifth verse, latter part of this verse. I will tell you right now also that there's a great battle going on for your affections. Great battle going on in your mind today. The devil wants to own areas of your mind. And even if he doesn't own the whole mind, he'll be satisfied with a certain part that he can distort. In the fifth verse, God saw that the wickedness of man was great. You see, something led to this great wickedness. There was a beginning. There was a path that they took. The multiplicity of people, I could just almost see it now. They got together and maybe one man said, "Well, what do you think about some of these other things? You know that star up there in heaven? That's a wonderful thing. And I know the Lord said to serve the Lord. We need to serve Him, but He made that. Don't you think it'd be right for us to honor the star? Let's honor. That's a bright star in the night. What? All kinds of little tiny turnings." That begins to twist, and it doesn't seem so wrong at that point. But the road that it starts us down leads us away. And then we read, "Well, yes, that sounds pretty good." And then a brother came up and said, "Oh, brother, I've been talking with the Lord, and I don't feel clear in this." But the rest, they get together and we reinforce. "Well, I think it'd be good. It'd be good for us to honor this. Aren't we honoring God? Made it, we're going to honor God." But it's a subtle turning. And it goes much farther than that in our day. Because it's sometimes a direct 180 degrees. When it is fully developed in the mind, it will lead us to a direct 180 degrees turn away from the law of God. Completely contradictory. And will lead then in our life and to a place of despair. Because what we should be able to anchor our hearts on and our minds and build our lives on, that foundation has been rocked. And in some cases, completely removed. What does God have to build on now? When you realize that in some cases, the devil has managed to convince young minds, doubts about God, doubts about His creation. We doubt now that God even created man male and female. There's some doubts begin to enter in here. I want to tell you this is a trick of Satan. I want to tell you in the fear of the Lord today, I want to save you from the suicidal tendencies of tomorrow. I want you to know that if you go down that road, you're going to come to a place. You may go down that road and He'll let you do it, but you'll find at the end of the road, you won't be satisfied there either. Today, He holds out a carrot before your eyes. Today, He'll say, "You're all confused in your mind. You're young and you don't know what, but here's the answer. If you go down this road, you'll find some satisfaction. It's a lie." Too many people have I seen die. Seen too many people. The devil has gotten hold of a young life that God created. God sent His Son for. And the fields are white. God help us to know how to help these ones. We don't want them to die. There is a truth. That is a truth. It's immutable. Saints, don't let the devil move us in our minds. Let us retain God in our thinking. Let us not reject His ways,
But what happens when we go down that road, God begins to be pushed out, and these things begin to make almost a little bit of sense in our mind. We give a certain amount of legitimacy to it. It won't be long till it keep on leading down into the road of confusion. There are some absolutes with the Lord. Absolutes that brings peace in our heart. The Lord said, He looked on the condition that led them here. And He said, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. You don't get there overnight. There's a path we take. Well, I want you to know God has an answer for that. God has help. I want us to look over in Romans, the first chapter. Here's some more description of some of this condition that we find over here. In Romans, the first chapter talks about a people that would not retain God. 28th verse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I was talking with a man one time. He actually was trying to shame me for faith. He said, "You believe in a fairy tale." Well, he's welcome to his feelings. I said, "Well, what do you believe?" I believe in Darwinism. I said, "Oh, that's your faith." He said, "No, I don't have faith." Oh, I thought you said you believed in Darwinism. Yeah, but that's science. Oh, you believe it? No. Yes. And in our discussion, he was trying to make room for deviant lifestyles. And I said, you believe that? You believe that's all right? Said, yes. Yeah. Why not? It's the God you're talking about. It's just ignorant. It's just crazy for you to hold that there's an absolute, that there's a wrong in this. People are born that way. Okay, that's what you seem to believe. But what about God? It's a fairy tale. Well, then, if people are born that way and you believe in Darwinism, you're supporting this, you are violating a cardinal rule of your faith. He said, I don't have faith. You believe Darwinism. I'm an atheist. But he believed Darwinism. Have you ever thought that for Darwinism to work, there has to be procreation? Has to be. For you to support, if you want to be an atheist today, if you want to support the act of Darwinism or the idea of that, and support also the deviant lifestyle, you are violating the very cardinal belief of your faith. It's wrong. But it's not only wrong according to your faith, it's wrong according to God. There are some absolutes. God loves people that are caught up in this type of a thing. The devil's taking advantage of them. We don't talk demeaning of those people. Our hearts go out to them. But I have a message for that need this morning. That God has victory. There is salvation. God saves all the way. His brother Hargrave used to say, from the uttermost to the guttermost,
The Lord saves all the way. There's no place that His Word will not be effective in people's lives if we let Him. God wants us to retain the Lord in our knowledge. One of the things that we go down that road, we have to recognize that in the Word is very clear that some of these things, the lifestyles that are being promoted out there today, are very clearly taught against in the Scripture. It's hard for any intelligent, honest person to read the Scripture and without coming away with the ultimate conclusion that it's against God's law. It's wrong. So to be able to go ahead and try to justify that, what people do is they reject God. They fail to retain God. And they go about trying to discount it. Now notice the progression here. Let's skip up a few verses where it says in the 25th verse says, who changed the truth of God. Yeah. Let me inject here that there's no way you're ever going to change the truth of God. Because it will be there. But what he's saying they did, they got it twisted in their mind. They changed what they believed, what they knew to be true, and it got turned completely around. See, the devil's at work in our minds today. I don't care how many people would gather around us to try to bolster us in our opinion. That crowd, normally, if we're trying to bolster our opinion in opposed to God, I want to tell you, it's damaging to you, to the people around you. I don't care how great the crowd is that wants to bolster you. God's at the end of all this. And we do ourselves damage if we rise up and try to make the truth of God a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped the servant and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Then it said, for this cause, and this is a very, very sad, shocking place that I believe we should all be fearful of getting into. God gave him up. That's what the verse says. For this cause, God gave them up. Before God gives you up, I want you to know there is help. When you begin to feel the despair of the place that the devil has led you in, and he'll tell you on the path that he takes you down, he'll tell you, this is fulfilling, this is who I really am, this is where I want to go. I want to tell you, God has an answer for you. When you get to the end of that road, and you find that it's not satisfactory, that all your hope that you had placed your hopes on, all that has melted, and it's not what I thought it was. God is still waiting for a burned out life. God is still waiting for damaged material. He wants you before then. Don't get me wrong. But if you find yourself in that condition, there is a God who still loves you. Will take you in your crippled state. I want you to know today, there's a place for you to come. There's a place that God loves you. Yes, God loves you as you are. And He wants you to love Him as He is. Because He's holy. He's righteous. And His Word is altogether wonderful and beautiful. His ways are right for your soul today. It is comfortable for the inner man. And the Lord would like to set twisted minds straight. He would like to build hope where hope has begun to wane. Where you come to those places, and I'll tell you, when I was out there on the devil's territory, one of the things that I did, I went after the pleasures of the world. And there's certain things that that got a hold of me. And I remember times that the pressure and the disappointment of the unfulfilling nature that the devil will lead us down, the unfulfillment that you find there comes a point that you feel desperate. And I remember a time when I definitely, in my own self, I contemplated suicide. That was very strongly. And I don't say that in any way to I'm telling you that this is something that people deal with. And I want you to know, if that ever happens to you, please, I'll give you my telephone number and you can call me at any hour of the night and ask me for prayer. Come to me. Come to any of us, those who have found God, and please open the way. We don't want you to die. We want you to be saved. We want you to find happiness and peace in your life. That's what this is about. We want people saved. And when you look at us, though we will hold the truth of God, I want you to know that we love your soul and we really want to help you. We want you to make it. We want you to make heaven. And I want to encourage you this morning. If any of us, if we get down to a place where we feel hopeless, turn to the Lord yourself. But not only that, if you need some help, there's other people that's more than willing to give of their time and effort to try to help you this morning. I want to encourage you. I want to try to get in this place where the devil has maybe hid back in the corners and try to say there's no help. I want you to know this morning there is help. Amen. People love you. On the 28th verse, it said, even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a mind, a reprobate mind, a damaged mind, a twisted mind, one that the thoughts that begin to come out of it, that created the action in their life, the mind, what the thoughts were, they were reprobate. They were unreclaimable. Those actions, there's no value to those actions. They're damaging. No way to make that action right. It's wrong. That's what this reprobate means. God wants you to know that He wants to turn that mind around. Doesn't mean the mind cannot be turned around. But the thoughts that you're having in that condition, there are thoughts, reprobate thoughts. And it goes on to describe it. Reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. If you notice, when we begin to get over in the devil's territory and he works his wiles in our life, you begin to recognize that what is being produced in my life is not righteous and peaceful and right. It's just damaging. And it's wrong. And leaves a bad taste and guilt behind. All unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. This is the result of a twisted mind that's bringing forth reprobate thoughts. That's trying to tell us that if you go after this area, if you go after this way, this will answer your need. That's a reprobate thought. There's no way it will ever satisfy. Being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. Oh, this spirit has such a debateful spirit out there today. They will challenge you and say, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't believe the Bible anymore. You ever heard that? I have. Quoted scripture. Well, to people who used to know the Bible. And I'd say, because I surely admit, well, here's what the Lord says. I said, I know that, but I don't believe that anymore. And they would debate. You see, is this an honest debate? Is this good, healthy debate? I want to tell you the type of debate that the Lord really wants us to have is come amongst ourselves and say, where can we find where dost thou, dear shepherd, resort with thy sheep? Well, how can I get a little closer to the Lord? How you doing it, brother? How do we get, when we see Mark the perfect man, go to him and say, help me. Let me know. Is this the way? See, that's the kind of entreaty. That's the kind of inquiry of the mind that the Lord will bless. But this other, where we're debating, set ourselves in opposition to the law of the Lord,
That is a reprobate way. Debate, deceit, malignity. You know what that term, this may help us understand this term. You've heard of a malignant tumor. You know what that means? Well, we figure that's cancerous. Well, what that really is referring to is an area where some cells of the body that used to be normal. They were healthy cells, but something began to happen within them as they began to grow out of order. God has an order. But they began to become independent, and they began to multiply on their own, rapidly taking their own way, and it does damage to the body. It'll do damage to you too if this gets infected in your mind. It's cancerous. And in the world, we're taught the way they deal with cancer is they do sometimes what they call radical surgery. Let me tell you this morning, I thank the Lord would have us when we recognize malignancy of the mind, for it is not right with God, and something is going off on a tangent on its own, rapidly increasing in my mind. And I hear others reinforce it to me and say, yes, that's right. Oh, don't stay with those people over there. Well, they're judgmental. They'll tell you of the word of the Lord, and we don't believe that anymore anyway. We have some other, we've got some better ideas. Be careful, because that's a malignant thought. And it will grow rapidly once you give yourselves over to it until it destroys a good conscious mind. It will infect terribly. Malignity. Backbiters. You know, God wants us to be grounded in our own walk with the Lord. He wants us to know of whom I have believed and be persuaded that He's able. God wants us to be acquainted with Him and His ways. And when we go out and deal then with some of these people, we do have something to give them. God will give us wisdom, know how to deal with them, but always deal with them with the love of God on your heart. Because what you will have to tell them is something different than what they have in their mind right now. And sometimes they will militantly hold on to what they have in their mind right now. They have to, because that's who they are. That's who they've got to defend right now, because that's all they have. But God wants to show them something better. And He wants to show them something better in you and I. Just like Peter and John that saw the crippled man, they had something on hand. And they were very willing to give it. And I believe they gave it with great love in their heart. When they said, look on me. Oh, that's arrogant. You think you've got the truth? Yes, I do. I've got some truth. The Lord has saved my soul. Oh, why are you so arrogant? Because the Lord has changed me, brother. And the Lord wants to help you too. Such as I have. Peter and John looked at that man. They looked up expectant. And they said, look on us. Because they had something. And God wants you and I to have something on hand. The real workings of God in our heart. And this man looked on them and they said, such as I have, give I thee. And it wasn't gold they pulled out of their pocket. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And he leaped and went free, jumping, shouting, thanking God for deliverance. God still is delivering people today, not only physically, but He does it spiritually and mentally. A backbiter, though, will be the one that you offer them something and you begin to try to reveal something to them and they will bite you back. No, I'm telling you, you're so wrong. You're judgmental. Oh, Lord, help us. And we don't want to be judgmental, folks. We really don't. We don't want to be that. But we do want to be grounded in the truth. And we don't need to make excuses for the truth. Holding the truth in righteousness. There is a way of trying to use the truth in unrighteousness. God doesn't want us to do that, because that's damaging. But there is a place of holding it right with the love of God. With a true, when I look down at a soul and lovingly pity their condition. They don't feel like they need our pity, but what motivates us is love and pity for them. We want them to be free. Now, these people don't be shocked if you get bitten back, because that goes along with this. Haters of God. Despiteful. Proud. You notice their spirit is out there? Proud. Boastful. Inventors of evil things. Wonder what all that meant. Oh, we see a lot of invention today that the devil is trying, of evil. New invention that the devil brings out. I'm not talking about air conditioning and stuff. I'm talking about evil invention. Inventing of evil thoughts, evil actions. Go to new excesses. It's always being drawn forward by the devil to try to find some new way of excitement, because the excitement they had before has failed to excite anymore. It's lost its intensity. They've got to have something new. And there's going to be a day they're going to run out. Then it talks about disobedient to parents. I don't think that just means to our parents, but that it takes that in. But it's disobedient to the guiding forces that the Lord would have in our life to really help us and protect us. We become disobedient. I discount it. I throw it away. I become rebellious to these things. This is part of the spirit that's out there. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Implacable. You ever thought of that? Implacable? What does that describe to you? Somebody that cannot be moved. No. When they are faced with the clear truth, they will not be moved. No amount will touch them. Can't my mind, I'm set, and you're so wrong. You're not only that, you're doubly wrong, because you're going against the scripture. Now, they don't believe the Bible, but they'll make sure you believe it. You're judgmental. Again, we don't want to be judgmental. But we must hold still the truth. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Then he goes on and carries this thought forward of the way this spirit, and the way it's being expressed, and the infection of the mind, the reprobate mind, how it is so destroying, so insidious in the mind, twisting it around 180 degrees from the things of the Lord, and goes ahead and describes their actions. Therefore, he begins to deal with this individual that has this type of reprobate mind and says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest another. You claim that everybody else is judgmental, but you yourself are doing it. That's what he's saying here. Did you know the Lord has righteous judgment? Therefore, he says, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that justifies yourself. And then claims everybody else is judgmental and begins to call them judgmental. And listen to this. Wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, because you're doing it. For thou that judgest, you do the same thing. But we are sure that God's judgment, or the judgment of God, is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and does the same, that thou shalt escape? I don't care how much we try to discount what God said, how much we would judge others for holding the truth. If we just simply say, bro, sometimes it's just simply by us being the Christian example before them that brings condemnation. And we're not trying to condemn people, but we do want people to see there's hope past their condemnation. But yet they feel this condemnation and they're going to lash out. Backbiting, you see. They got to defend themselves. This is the cancer of the mind. This is the thing that the Lord wants to help people with. And the truth of God is that there comes a point we need to recognize that I am infected in my mind. People found in this condition, we need to own that it's not right and it's not satisfying and it's not good. And the Lord has an answer. The Lord has help. I would like to go over into 1 John right now. This is where you and I come in with duty. God help us all to be wrapped in the love of God. May that be the motivating force of our life. When we meet people at our altars, we should have a genuine love for them. When we meet people out on the streets, we should have a genuine love for them. When we meet people that oppose us, we should still have a genuine love for their soul. When we meet people all twisted in their minds, oh, recognize the devil's doing this. And behind that, there's a soul that God loves. You and I have a work to do. The fields are white. The fields are white. There's much work to do. Is there not a cause? Oh, I want to stop there for just a little bit. It just came to my mind. You remember David? Everybody kind of got stymied. They got scared and kind of huddled up because somebody was challenging them. There was some real, this big, seemed like it was a giant. Giant in their eyes anyway. Not in God's. But finally, David, they said, well, you can't do this. You're small. You're not skilled. There's all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't go out and meet this devil or this giant. And he said, isn't there a cause? And there's something greater than me? Why shouldn't I lay my life down? Why? Why shouldn't I put myself at risk? We're in trouble here. If we don't get rid of this giant, all of us are going to die. We're going to have to go out and face him. We're going to have to face him in the way that the Lord has given you victories in the past. Brother David, when he was a young man out there strumming his instrument for the sheep, the Lord gave him victories after victory. There's some songs I'm pretty sure he sang to the Lord while he was out there. There's some things, some time he spent with the Lord. He felt the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. There were some victories that he already had. And when this giant came up, he said he's just like one of those. I'm willing to put myself at risk. There are some souls out there today. God wants us to recognize the cause. To buy into the cause. God wants to save people today. Over here now in 1 John. Brother John in the second chapter. 14th verse. Think he loved these people. Perhaps older minister at this point. Looking at people, some of the ones of the congregation that had gotten hold of the things of the Lord. Here the 14th verse says, 13th verse says, I have written unto you fathers because you've known him that was from the beginning. And very probably in the congregation here that he was writing to, there were men at this point, fathers at this point, who had perhaps were young when Jesus was taught in their midst. They remembered him. They remembered the things that he said. And he said, I write unto you, fathers. And the reason why Brother John was challenging them is because the devil would like to steal away from you and I the very stability, the very great knowledge of God that we have. May God help us to retain God in our knowledge.
value what God has. And Brother John was looking at these men who had seen Christ. Perhaps had watched Him walk in their midst. Maybe you had been one of those children that had been placed on His knee and the Lord had blessed. And He said, I write unto you, fathers. You've known Him from the beginning. You've watched Him. And I want to encourage you today, look back on where the Lord has brought you from. Look back on the ways that He's worked in your life, that He has challenged you, that He's brought you through the trials of your life. I want to tell you recently, let me report to you from the battlefield. Recently, I went through, I have perhaps in some way still in, a battle where not necessarily a spiritual battle. Sometimes it gets over into that area. But when I lost my mother, it left some great emotional places in me. And naturally it would. And it was difficult, very difficult. But I want you to know that I found the Lord there too. I want to report to you today that the Lord knows how to help us. Even in our grief, the times when it feels like everything is overwhelming, there is a place that the Lord wants to show Himself strong, to strengthen you and I. He wants to show Himself to you, make Himself known very personally to you and I, that we might have something to share with others. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known Him from the beginning. There's places in every one of our lives, if you walk with the Lord very long, that He's dealt with you in areas of your life. Remember those. Those are precious times. Don't turn them loose. He will convince, convict, confirm to your mind the truth of God's ways. And then He says, I write unto you, young men. Young women, I don't want you to feel left out. But today I want to actually follow along with this scripture and tell. I want you young ladies to know the Lord has a special place for you. But you young men, there's God's got a special place for you. I look at our young men and the scene I saw the other day when over there in the chapel. And I saw young and old as we stood there singing from the bottom of our heart, we shall conquer. Singing that song, that the Lord going to take it. There was such a determination, such a zeal, such a... We see the enemy, we see places that he wants to try to make inroads, and we are intent to drive him back. Amen. Young men, I write unto you today because you're strong. You've got something to offer the Lord today. And I want to encourage you today. Stay in the will of God. First, give yourself to the will of God, and then stay in the will of God. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to use you. If He doesn't call you to the ministry, most likely He'll call you to a place of marriage with fatherhood in your home, and you need God in there. God wants to make you a godly man. A man of strength, a man of courage, who's willing to face the battles in his life, who's willing to go through, gain those victories that the women around us will see, and they will naturally, God made them that way. They'll support you because God made them to admire a man who's willing to be brought under God's control. And to stand up godly, be willing to take the arrows, be willing to say, when others all around might be giving them other things to their mind, trying to bring them down, trying to give them twisted thoughts, they said, no, I know something better. I've got something in my heart. I won't turn it loose. I'm going to keep going. I write unto you, young men. Oh, this morning, isn't there a cause? God wants you young men to be young men. Men of righteousness. Because you have known Him, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Oh, thank the Lord. There's a place of overcoming. There's a place of victory. Yes, you're going to have some battles. The devil will see to it that you have some battles. The devil will make attacks against your mind, against your very soul. The devil will do that. But go forward. We shall conquer. Another song says, we'll conquer though I die. I intend to gain the victory. We'll press the battle on till the victory
has won. Thank the Lord. I write unto you, 14th verse, I write unto you fathers again, because again he said the same thing. I write unto you because you've known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you now, young men. I have challenged you, young men. And I continue, I'm going to reiterate some of this to you. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you. That's where your strength is, young man. Oh, I'm looking sometimes when I see a young man, when I see them starting out for the Lord, when I see the zeal begin to come in there, I see them wanting to do the thing. Oh, I rejoice in my spirit when I see you doing that, young man. I want to encourage you, keep on doing that. Allow the Lord to work in your life because the fields are white. God wants to develop righteousness in you. He wants you also to get to the place spiritually in your life that you can help some of these other twisted ones out there. He wants them saved too. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. I know our time's run out. It won't hold us longer. But there's a lot of needs out there. And God wants us to love them. God wants us to feed them. God wants us to meet some of those needs. And I know we can't meet them all, but may God help us to save some. We have a work, a great work still here in this earth. And am I looking for a great revival? I hope so. I hope so. I'm not sure I'm expecting a great revival, but I'm going to work that way. We'll leave the rest in the hands of the Lord. There is opportunity today that perhaps has never been before. Because of the increase of evil, because of the letting down in nominal Christianity, there's a lot of dissatisfied people out there. There's some honest souls out there. They want to serve the Lord. And they're starving to death. You know who he wants to go? I write unto you, young men. I write something to you. You've got God in your heart. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. I also write to you, young ladies. Be in the place God calls you to. Whatever that might be. Sometimes he'll call you in places of ministry. You've got a very, very special place. I had a brother tell me this morning. Years ago, work out in Holly Hill. And I didn't know this. Brother Dryas Gibson had been praying. And somehow he received a burden for out there at Holly Hill. Didn't know anybody out there. And he said, Lord, I don't even have money to go. And the Lord, when he got through praying, he opened his eyes and found some money laying there on the ground. It's the story that was shared with me this morning. In the meantime, there was a brother out there in Holly Hill that was doing his best to serve the Lord. But his soul was starving. He was going, trying to, where can I get this? I need my... His heart was turned toward the Lord. And he was praying. And this other man is praying. You believe this can still happen today? I do. I believe it. He went out on faith. The Lord took him all the way to Holly Hill. Not knowing where he was supposed to go. But he went and knocked on a door. It happened to be one of the kinfolks of this man that was hunting truth. I know how to put you in touch with him. Brother O'Neill Pratt, is that his name? If I got it right. And because of some faithful souls, there's a work today out in Holly Hill. Oh, the fields are white. There's hungry souls. May the Lord lead us to them. It's found in retaining God in our knowledge. It's found in keeping God in our heart. It's found in prayer. It's found in giving ourselves to the Lord. I want to encourage you today, asking the Lord still to call people to his service. And you young ones starting out, I want you to know, you look at us, and please don't be intimidated by us, because I'm interested in helping you. I'm interested in supporting you. And we're asking the Lord to develop you too. You young ones, I want to ask you this morning, if you see a place that the Lord has called you to, or you feel the calling of the Lord on your heart, will you dedicate
intend to give your heart fully to the Lord without reserve because the fields are white. Retain the Lord in your knowledge. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord.